What's up, Conference USA fans? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Jonas, your host today, as we bring you another version of our CUSA Insider football preview series. Today, we've got the Sam Houston Bearcats, year two under head coach Phil Longo, back inside the confines of Bauer Stadium this year. Plenty more to talk about as we get into the Bearcats. As we have with our previous episodes, we're going to get right into it with our media representative before we get into our interview from Media Day that Sarah conducted. But I'm going to go ahead and bring in Colton Foster in his fifth year as the sports editor for the Huntsville Item. Colton, thank you so much for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be back.
All right. So Sam Houston, again, year one last year under Phil Longo, went through plenty of change. It was just a weird year being down, you know, playing basically 12 road games, as Phil has alluded to plenty of times. But from your perspective, what were some of the, you know, takeaways? What did you learn in year one despite the record?
Yeah, things that I feel like came from that was this team really bought into what the staff was preaching. You know, I feel like just because they went 2-10 doesn't necessarily mean that everything was, you know, sunshine and rainbows. But they only had 17 guys, you know, enter the portal. 10 of those were encouraged by the staff. I mean, there's kind of that idea that all of these guys were bought into at least, you know, some of what they were doing, even if it didn't seem that way at the end. And you only have one coach turnover. I mean, it seems like, you know, I hate just going and saying last year was a throwaway year, but it kind of feels like, hey, this is year, you know, one and a half or year, you know, one, and we can kind of start going forward from here.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And it sounds like just kind of from what he said at Media Day and from others around the program, like, yeah, the amount of control he has over the program, having been through a full calendar year now, the whole recruiting cycle, all of that, like, yeah, it is kind of that 1B for what this year is. So what has the overall mood been around the program as they've navigated spring ball, summer ball, you know, all the offseason coming into the start of camp this week?
There's a lot of positivity. You know, I went to coaching school down in Houston and talked to Longo there. And, you know, he said normalcy is the word that the program has kind of like put all over the walls and put everywhere. And I think that's true. They've had a full year with him. He got hired, I want to say it was December 18th of 2024. That winter transfer portal closed 10 days later. He had to do all of his, you know, early recruiting with, I think, two assistant coaches. I mean, it was just, he got thrown into a mess. So I think that normalcy is settled in where they can now, they had 93, 92 guys in spring camp. I just think there's that idea of, hey, you know, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, the early episodes of this series, we've kind of talked about that the reasoning why we started with the schools we did was because kind of saving some of the teams with, you know, hotter quarterback battles, you know, for later on in camp. Certainly Sam Houston, not in that position, committing to Landon Locke from a very, very early standpoint. He started the final three games last year, enters 2026 as QB1. What did you see from him late in the year that should give Bearcat fans a lot of confidence going into this season?
You know, I want to say he started the final three games for Sam Houston. You know, his on-the-field stuff wasn't necessarily just knock your socks off. I think he completed like 51, 52% of his passes. But the leadership that he brought, there was burning his red shirt. I know that red shirts don't necessarily exist anymore. And for him, it was the same idea. But he went into, you know, Coach Longo's office and was like, hey, whatever you need the team to do, I'll do it. And I just think that speaks volumes for a freshman. He's 18 coming off an ACL injury. And he's over here saying that he's going to be the guy if they need him to be the guy for Sam. So I just, you know, I think he brings a strong leadership aspect. He's been around Longo for, I think, 2 or 3 years now between his college or his high school recruitment to Wisconsin. I think he can, he understands the system, and he's going to bring kind of that next level for this team that really needs it. And, you know, you talked about it. This is the first time since the 2021 season that Sam has known who their starting quarterback was going into day one of training camp. So I think that also helps because he gets all the spring reps. He got all whatever they do over the summer, and he's going to get all of the training camp reps.
In Coach Longo's system, what does he need to do well for this offense to really flourish in 2026?
you know, I feel like he just needs to be able to be accurate, kind of complete the passes he needs to have that deep threat occasionally, but consistently be able to kind of hit those mid-range throws that are going to keep defenses on their toes. You know, we like to call Coach Longo a big air raid guy, and he's really not. He's going to run the ball, so I think as long as Landon can kind of complete those mill passes. And get a strong run game with Landon Brown and Alton McCaskill. Like, I think this offense could show, you know, could make leaps and bounds on what they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, perfect segue into the next question. I was going to kind of go, you know, beyond quarterback, who are some of the other playmakers that people should know about coming into the season? Yeah, you mentioned Coco Brown, Alton McCaskill. Maybe elaborate on them more. And then, you know, what other pass catchers should we be looking for to be, you know, targets for Landon?
Yeah, we saw it last year with Alton McCaskill when he wasn't hurt. I mean, he was a dynamic playmaker. He could do everything for this team, but I think he missed 4 games and just wasn't always available. Landon Coco Brown has been a mainstay since the Casey Keeler years and has emerged as, like, he could be, you know, number one running back for this team. I think Chris Reed, a receiver, is really going to have to kind of step up this year for this team. He did it late last year and started making a name for himself, but he's going to have to kind of, I think he's going to need to take it up that next step. They also are going to have Grady O'Neill back. That's somebody that's been with Phil Longo for a few years now, kind of those guys. And then they went out in the transfer portal and picked up like Elijah Cashin and Keon Barry Johnson. And I think both of those guys are going to be, you know, need to be big time playmakers if this offense wants to get up to where they need to be.
Throughout the months of, you know, offseason practices, you know, where have you seen the most growth on the offense? Is it just kind of the chemistry and the normalcy that we've already talked about? Or, you know, is there certain things that you've kind of honed in on?
Yeah, I think it's really just the normalcy. Last year was just so crazy. At Media Day, we got to talk to Landon Locke. And, you know, one of the things he talked about was, you know, they were boys. They all kind of play video games together. Phil Longo hit on it too. He feels like everybody's kind of like come together a little bit more. I think last year was more of a, hey, we have to put a football team on the field and we're just going to see what happens. And I think this year, the main focus has been, all right, now we have a brotherhood, a brothership, a family. And I think this year that's been kind of the idea is let's get everybody to be friends and like each other. And then let's let the football kind of play out on when it plays out.
Going back 2 years ago to that 10-win season, obviously the defense was the headliner for the Bearcats. Had a ton of new faces come in last year with a lot of the, you know, the portal exits. But as they kind of transition into 2026, what does that side of the ball look like? Just, you know, kind of similarly to how we talked about the offense, you know, who are some of the mainstays that should be poised to break out or maybe some new faces that you think will make an impact?
Yeah, I think guys like Dean Ford and Dylan Frazier are two returners that really are going to need to make an impact for this team. Dylan Frazier is on the D line, and I think he's going to have a really pivotal year for what this, you know, defensive line can do. He's somebody that has been around now and can be a leader for this team. Stacey Bay is another name that I would look out for. I just think. I think it's the same idea as offense where we have so many pieces that are now familiar with the system, be with Freddie Auctry-Lindsay being there for a second year, that you're just kind of hoping that you got these guys where you need them to be come whatever it is, September 5th or something like that.
What's one position group, if you had to pick one, that could be, you know, quietly become a strength for the Bearcats?
You know, it's funny. I think it's probably the offensive line. That's kind of the group that everybody has the biggest question mark with, but they went out and they hired Jack Bicknell as their offensive line coach, the only coach they brought in. And I think they found enough pieces that group can quietly become a one to watch. You know, they brought in a couple guys that I feel like can really anchor it and mix and match, with like Isaac Sohn, who is already here. You bring in, I think, Brock Stukes and then Carter Cadell. I think you can kind of have three guys that you know are going to anchor really well, and then you can just kind of go from there.
One of the biggest storylines I alluded to earlier, but kind of off the field somewhat, but being back inside Bauer Stadium this year after some of the major renovations last year, new press box, new club areas, just the whole new home side facility. You got a chance to see that last week. How excited were you just to see, you know, the upgrades there as Sam Houston continues to invest at this FBS level?
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome. You know, I want to say you were around it before, and you've seen the press box that was there, and you know, there's offices that are bigger than that press box. And now there's space. They've opened up those revenue streams with the clubs and the suites. I think they've sold 11 of the 12 suites, so it's kind of like, you know, they're opening up revenue. They're kind of getting with the program. Not their just college football program as a whole on that end. And, you know, they updated everything from the top floor down. Everything kind of got a facelift. And, you know, just not just the press box being there, but the club level is going to serve as an athlete's dining hall for, you know, all 18 sports that Sam Houston hosts. So I think it's just a thing that's going to, you know, for a fan, it's a place to look and call home. But for those athletes, it's really going to be a place that they can call home, because now there's all of these things that they didn't have before with this press box build. And I just think it's going to be good, you know, especially we've talked about it, getting them back into the home stadium. You don't have 12 road games. You get to play 6 games at home. I just think there's kind of a whole new mindset with this box.
Yeah, and I'm sure for yourself, right, you are looking forward to not having to drive to downtown Houston to go cover a home game.
Yeah, that'll be nice not to have to, you know, do the 70, I think it was 72 mile trek down, pay for parking, and then, you know, all that fun stuff.
And I imagine that, again, that excitement is going to spill over to the team, just, you know, going into this year, knowing that they're going to have a true home field advantage. I'm sure the fans are hungry to get back in the stadium and support the Bearcats again, too.
For sure. And you know, the crazy part with last year, they had guys that, you know, came in for 1 year and never really played a home game for Sam Houston. Made it, you know, never played in front of his Bearcat crowd. They never played a game in Huntsville. And I just think that's kind of crazy. So, you know, your starting quarterback who played in, what, 7 games last year, 6 games, has never played in front of a Bearcat fan crowd. So I think it's going to be cool for all of those guys to get back in front. And the fans too. I mean, I want to say last year's average attendance for their home games was just under like 4,000. So just, you know, being able to get your students back in the game and have them on the visiting side and doing whatever they want to do on that end, just having that back is going to create kind of an atmosphere that I think the players are hungry for and, you know, want to go out and win for.
Definitely. When you look at the team schedule this year, what game or stretch do you look at and think that could define the Bearcats season?
You know, I really think, I think we talked about it last year. Two years ago when Sam Houston went 10-3, they got off to that fast start. They beat Rice. They go out and they beat Texas State. I think they beat Hawaii. I think they were like 3-1. I really think this first kind of stretch with Troy, Tulsa, and Nichols is going to set the tone. I think if you can get, I think you have to get through that stretch 2-1, and you can go, okay, we feel pretty good about getting 4 wins in Conference USA play. I truly think that if they can get out to a fast start, like they can turn the season into something exciting like it was a handful of years ago. But like last year, you go out against Western Kentucky, have a lead, first play out of the half, you get a fumble recovery for a touchdown, take the lead, and you're like, oh, here we go. And then you lose it, and then you just kind of, it starts snowballing. And then you go out and you beat Oregon State, you come home, you beat Delaware, and then you just, nothing else kind of. I think if they could get those first 3 wins and have that mindset of, hey, look, we can do this. I think the sky's kind of the limit for.
Yeah, I mean, it's always easier to not have to chase those wins at the end of the year if you can kind of find them here and there along the way. But if everything comes together, the things that we've talked about here, what does a successful season look like for Sam Houston 2026?
I think a successful season is a bowl game. I feel like that's kind of, it doubles as the minimum and the maximum. I feel like getting to a bowl game is kind of where this program needs to be every year. Just going off the success that they had as a whole and at the FCS level, and we've seen all these FCS schools kind of transition up and are having, you know, success. I think that, you know, getting to a bowl game would be a successful season. And, you know, to make it even better, I think you probably want to see kind of 8 wins would make it like, hey, look, here we go. We're going in the right direction. But ultimately, I think if you just are playing in, you know, December, that's kind of where, you know, I think success would be defined with this team.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, like we said a lot, normalcy with this program, I mean, that is winning ball games, right? And being in the postseason. So I'm sure that is, yeah, goal number one for the team. But as we kind of wrap up here, what's one storyline around the program that maybe people aren't talking about that you think will make some noise as the year goes along?
I really think it's going to be, the storyline is going to be the offensive play calling with Phil Longo. He talked at Media Day, you know, he has an offensive coordinator with Zach Patterson, who does 80% of the work, and Phil Longo will call plays and be involved in game planning. We saw it at times last year where, you know, didn't work that well. The Jack State game, I think, is a prime example. You know, they're up one with like 5 seconds to go. Jack State throws the quick out, calls a timeout, gets out of bounds, kicks a career-long 52-yard field goal. Well, if you're, you know, if you're the play caller, offensive coordinator type, are you really looking at what the defense is doing on the field? You know, they were in prevent. It was kind of like, hey, they thought they were going for it. I mean, I forget his name, but the Jack State kicker, it was a career long for him. So, you know, what are the odds he's going to make a 52 yarder? I guess it's kind of the thought. But I think it's going to be kind of that Phil Longo play calling and how much he's kind of around. And, you know, he says he doesn't want to be the CEO type coach he was around a lot of CEO type coach with Mac Brown. Casey Keeler was the same way. He's like, hey, I hired y'all to do a job. Do your job and I'm going to oversee it. He said he's probably going to call plays until he's no longer coaching. So I just think that having that head coach as the play caller, we need to see how it kind of pans out for him when, you know, the offense isn't on the field.
For sure. All right. Well, that'll do it for us here today. Thank you so much to Colden Foster for joining the podcast to help preview Sam Houston Bearcats for the upcoming season. Colden, best of luck with the rest of fall camp and with everything this season. Maybe we'll be chatting later on this fall.
Hope so. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Colden Foster for joining the podcast to help preview the Sam Houston Bearcats this season. Now we're going to transition to the inside track with Sarah Rudolph talking to head coach Phil Longo, quarterback Landon Locke, and Dean Ford at the 2026 USA football kickoff.
All right, Conference USA fans, welcome back into another segment here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We're live here from the 2026 CUSA football kickoff at Texas Live in Arlington, Texas. And joining me now, we have Sam Houston's Bearcat football squad, head coach Phil Longo, quarterback Landon Locke, and linebacker Dean Ford. Guys, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Appreciate the invite.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's get right into it. Talk a little bit of football here going into the 2026 season. Coach, obviously, your second full year we're about to go into under the helm of the Bearcat program. 2-10 overall in your first season. Of course, not where you want to be. But what can you tell me about what you've done in the off season to prep and propel yourself forward to have a great year here in 2026?
So, I've been saying this a lot to media this past week. It is amazing the difference a year makes, because at this time last year, we were looking at 12 away games. We're looking at no stadium. Never saw a Bearcat tailgate. Didn't score a touchdown last year where we heard any cheering. You know, it's kind of like a COVID year, but not even being able to play at home. And so, you know, we also, and being very transparent about it, we were one of the only unfunded FBS programs in the entire country. And, you know, they were footing the bill for a $65 million stadium renovation and, you know, a multi-million dollar commitment to moving Sam Houston to the FBS level. And so, you know, I realized and our staff realizes it was going to take a year of patience, something I'm not very good at. But here we are now, and we've got a great nucleus coming back 45 to 46 kids coming back that we know they have relationships with the staff. That just wasn't the case last year. And then our high school recruiting class by three different factions was ranked number one in the history of the school. So we're excited to have that group in, and they're talented. And then we went to the portal instead of trying to replace 58. 58 people went to the portal last year. This year we had 19. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot more stability. And then I think we're one of very few in the FBS this year that has lost only one coach or less. So we retained everybody except our O-line coach, and he actually made this decision to get out of football. And we wish him the best. And we were able to add Jack McNeil, who now will be with me for the fourth time. So we've been in North Carolina, Wisconsin, Ole Miss together, and I'm happy to have been able to add him to the staff this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talk about not having, a home stadium last year, obviously looking forward to the beautiful new stadium renovation that you guys accomplished last year. I'm sure you guys are also looking forward to that. Tell me a little bit about what Bearcat football looks like for you guys this year. What's the brand of football that we can expect on the field?
I'm excited. It's going to be a show. One thing we like to say on the offensive side is like, don't blink. The two things that says is like, don't blink, cause we're always looking at the next play, but also don't blink cause you might miss it. I think there's going to be a lot of explosives on the offensive side of the ball. It's going to be a show.
Dean, what about you on the defensive side?
Yeah. And Landon hit it right on the head. It should be exciting on both sides of the ball. We also have a saying, we like to move fast, confident, and dominant. And I feel like with the guys coming in this year and with the guys we're retaining, we should hit that right on the head this year.
With the guys that you did retain, obviously much more cohesive team maybe going into 26 than it was this past season. What are you preaching in the locker room this year? What are you guys going to be talking about at camp here in a couple of weeks?
So these guys right now, we are, even the players that graduated, I don't know that they even understand how much we appreciate what they did last year. We had some turmoil, we had some adversity, but what they did was, along with the 46 that are returning, they laid the foundation, they laid the blueprint for us. This spring felt so much different. You want the main thing to be the main thing, and that's coaching and training for football. And last year, even into June, we recruited every day last year, meaning we had a recruit on campus every day all spring. This year, we were done signing 31 portal kids on January 23rd, and we added two during the spring. And outside of that, it's been all business and all football. And it feels there's a lot more normalcy right now than there was at this time last year.
Landon, tell me, and for you, the feeling in the locker room right now. I can tell by the way Coach Longo's talking. There's some anticipation there for this upcoming season. How are you feeling in the quarterback room? What are you looking to accomplish this year?
I'm ready to shock the world, honestly. Having the year go like it did last year was, you want a little different outcome. But I think the coaches just did a really great job bringing in a great talented group from the portal and freshmen, but also great character guys. And so when you talk about the locker room, like, I just feel like we're a lot closer this year. Like, we're always going out together, like, just always spending time together, always getting that team chemistry, team bonding. And I think it's made a huge difference. It's just a little different when you're out there with guys that, you just got out there with, but, it really clicks when you truly know them, on a personal base. And it just clicks, it's just something that you just know, like, they're going to be in the right spot. And I think that's made a world of difference.
Dean, how long have you been with the program?
I'm heading to my third year being with the
program. Okay, so 2 years ago, I think you guys did exactly what Landon was talking about and kind of came into Conference USA and shocked the world. What do you have to do personally or as a team to turn around and do it all over again?
I just feel like being and doing the things we know we're capable of. Like Landon said, we brought in a bunch of guys who are very, very talented. And I feel like we have the time to do anything we want to do, to be honest. Guys that play with a lot of swagger, a lot of speed, and guys who I really like to be around, really, in the locker room, on the field, outside of football. We one big family. I feel like we can do things this year.
I will say we had 92 here in January, and you asked about the culture that having that nucleus of 46 come back to kind of teach the culture we're pushing, right? And we're pressing on these guys, and to have 92 here all spring and all summer just lends to us being able to get a little bit closer to where we'd like to be from a culture standpoint.
Absolutely. You talk about team retention. You talk about team culture. Tell me a little bit about community culture or alumni-based culture. I heard a really interesting story, Coach, that you personally called several football alumni to, you know, get them come back, join the program and be part of it.
One of the reasons that my wife and I wanted to come back here, we know Texas is a great place to raise a family. So it was fantastic on the personal side. But it really was a lot about the relationships that we built with football alumni, administration here, just people on campus, a lot of people around town. And so we were able to, we didn't really even have to rekindle those relationships because we maintained contact with many of them and came back here to visit often. And so we had some relationships that have grown. And I just, you know, I tell our players this when they're coming here, I tell every recruit, the university and Huntsville in particular, and the area around our university, those people are incredibly embracing. And they make the quality of life for our student athletes fantastic. And I think they do that for all the sports, but they love their football. And so part of that is just wanting to, one, we want to do our job and give back to the community. But we understand how well taken care of we are and we're going to be. And that's probably the thing I look forward to the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Landon, Dean, any on-campus traditions or things that you guys do personally or as a team leading into a game that you could highlight for us as something fun that goes on there in Huntsville?
Me personally, that's what I'm excited to see this year. You know, I've been here 1 year, came out of high school, and, you know, I didn't get that home stadium tradition, the tailgating, the great atmosphere that people talk about. And so that's one thing, like, you know, I'm super excited to look forward to and get that full experience at Sam Houston.
Yeah, and, you know, I plan on taking the tradition that was set a few years ago when I was a freshman, you know, me and the guys, you know, hang out, do some team bonding right before a game, every game, you know, that is the plan. And, you know, it was something that we weren't able to do because we didn't have those home games. So I am planning on bringing that back.
Awesome. Love it. Landon, Rockwall, Texas, mm-hmm. Right? That's where you're from. Got some family coming out to see you while you're here in Arlington?
Yep.
Yeah.
My awesome. Mom, my dad, and my brother are here right now.
Oh, very cool. Well, I hope that they are enjoying their time getting to stay in state and go to a program like Sam Houston. What brought you in? What kept you there? Just tell us a little bit about maybe your path to being a Bearcat.
Yeah. You know, I would say it's not the traditional way going out of high school just because while Coach Longo was at Wisconsin, my brother was playing for him, and I ended up committing to him at Wisconsin going into my junior year. And, you know, I stayed committed all throughout and even signed there. And then, you know, some things happened, and he gave me a call once he got that job. And, you know, I didn't realize how much being close home meant to me. But that's kind of how I landed there. And, you know, he took a chance on me twice. And, you know, hopefully I can make him proud, obviously. But yeah, it's meant the world to me. Coming here, staying close to home, being close to family, I think it's special. Just, you know, like right now, having my family here just with me, and you know, I was actually just talking with somebody, just like saying, like, my parents are such soldiers. Like, they make it out to every single game, no matter the circumstance or the path to get there. They make it out to every game, and, you know, I couldn't be more thankful for that.
And then, Dean, you're not far from home either, are you?
No, not at all.
Right down the road there in Houston.
Pretty much.
And how important is it for you to, you know, have family available to come and see you play?
Oh, it's everything. You know, you want to be able to have that group of people that you spend your whole life with, you know, be able to watch you live out a dream of yours and do things that, you know, were really, it was a challenge, you know, coming through high school, you know, playing D1. So just have that sort of nucleus with you the whole way till now is, it's pretty amazing.
Very cool. Well, keeping kind of on the personal side of things, I want to ask you guys some fun questions. So give me like a little insider look into the locker room. I need to know who's the funniest guy in the locker room right now.
Okay.
Either side of the ball.
Yeah. Well, it really just depends on, you know, what type of humor you're looking for. Like, you know, we have guys that are, you know, pretty humorous without even trying.
They're quiet, funny.
Right. Yeah, we got guys who are able to, you know, crack jokes, you know, guys who really bring the energy. So it really does depend on what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think the whole team has you know, like I said, it's a great group of guys. They're all fun to be around, all can make you laugh at any moment. And they're all just kind of like, they all have their own way of kind of being goofy, you know, just things that make you laugh. But, you know, if I'm singling out a person, I probably got to say Bear Holloway. I mean, he, like, no matter what he's doing, I mean, I'm laughing, smiling. Even like his motivational, like, talks, like when he brings up the team and workouts or something, like, all it kind of makes you smile, makes you laugh. And it's a special gift he has, and it's hilarious to be around.
Love it. Coach, you strike me as a little bit of a serious guy. Am I painting you in the correct light, or do you have a humorous side to you as well?
No, I'm not that serious. I'm told all the time I don't smile enough, so I try. But no, I like to have a good time. I think we get business done. We have fun in practice.
Yeah.
We have fun in the locker room. I think we have fun in our building. It is very much a family affair. Parents are welcome anytime. They're welcome any practice. They're welcome in the building. Our football alum, our boosters are welcome anytime, anywhere, in or outside the building. And we have our staff, just of the 12 full-time guys or the 14 full-time guys, we have, I think, 37. I think we've got 37 kids running.
Wow.
So, you know, family meals for us, I just kind of hide under the table and wait till it's all over. But we're embracing that. That's what this program is about. It's how we run things. And I think the guys know when it's time to go to work. And I don't think there's any – it makes this game more fun when we can trust each other and these players allow us to push them and make them uncomfortable. You know, and at the end of the day, if we have a laugh doing it, there's no problem with that.
Love it. Love it. But the on-the-field product is important, but the off-the-field product is just as important as well. Well, finally, final question for you guys. I always ask this to anyone who sits in these chairs with me on the podcast, because I have not gotten to go to Huntsville since you guys became members of Conference USA just yet. So I need to know, when I do finally get to go visit there, where I need to go find a bite to eat. So we call this segment CUSA Eats. I need to know what restaurant I need to go to and what I need to order.
I have a favorite spot. And it may be a little unappealing just because of the location of it.
Okay.
But it's this place called Short Top Burgers. It is right next to a local gas station.
No, we got lots of gas station restaurants okay. around here. We're all right.
Right. The burgers are amazing. The prices are great. And the fries are probably, that's my favorite thing about it.
Okay, sure, Short Top.
I'm going to recommend you two places, and both Longo kind of recommended to me. He knows what he's doing when it comes to picking out the food. I'll give him that. But I got to go Cafe Texan. It's right there in downtown. That place is outstanding. You can get anything and it'll be good. And then the Raven, it's a little Italian, place. And again, like everything I've gotten there has never disappointed me. Everything there is outstanding.
Love it. Coach.
You know, it's kind of like what Dean said with regards to the, you know, the guys on the team, just what kind of comedy do you want? It's just here. If you want a burger, you're going to Humphreys. Okay. If you want a steak, you're probably going to Humphreys. If you want a little bit different cuisine, you want a little different flair, I'd send you to Sam's Table. Breakfast, I'd send you to Cafe Texan. Italian, I'd send you to the Lady. If you want a good red fish, I'd send you to 1836.
Man,
there's plenty of food.
He has all the recs. You're not wrong.
He's not lying.
He's a little bit of a foodie, Coach. A
little bit.
just a little bit. Do you cook too, or do you just freak? Okay. All right. Grill?
Both. We're going to cook for these guys. The team's coming to the house during camp, and we're going to force them to eat something they never would, and then we're going to feed them what they want.
Oh, man. Do I get to know what the thing that they're, you don't want to give it away yet?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll send you the invite. You just come have.
Hey, there's my invite to Huntsville there right there. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. Looking forward to see what the Bearcats can accomplish in 2026. Coach Landon Dean, thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Thank you so much to everyone from Sam Houston for joining the podcast for our CUSA Insider Football Preview Series. Next up on the series, we have Middle Tennessee on Thursday, August 13th. You can view the full schedule here on the screen to see when your team is up next. And we're very excited as we keep rolling through. We're still going through some of the ones where we know the quarterback battles, but, you know, really excited for some of the ones as we get later in the month, where there's a little bit more to talk about, a little more drama, and we're just excited to get one day closer to the kickoff of the 2026 football season. Again, that'll do it for us here on the CUSA Insider Pod. As always, you can follow us on social at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram to stay up to date on all the most recent episodes. And for our video episodes, you can go to YouTube at Conference USA and find our CUSA Insider playlist there. For you audio listeners, listen to us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Amazon Music. Again, that's it for us today here. Thank you for joining another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Josh Yonas, signing off.